Amen. And take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and find the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 is where we'll find our text tonight. It is good to see everyone. I want to welcome everyone on the live stream. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time all together in the Word of God. We'll break up into our small groups tonight. And just really want to encourage you in your small groups to maybe take a little extra time for prayer tonight. I think it's vital for us to be men and women of prayer and boys and girls of prayer. We understand that we can't do anything without God, that we desperately need Him every moment of every day, that we want to come before His presence with thanksgiving. We want to pray and give thanks for the blessings that He's given us. And we want to come before Him tonight looking to the new year, that God would help us in the new year to be the people He wants us to be, to accomplish the work He wants us to accomplish, to truly just be real disciples who are making disciples for His glory. So we've been talking the last, it's been a couple of weeks, so just allow me to give you a couple of reminders. We've been talking in the book of Habakkuk about the presence of evil in the world. We talked about the problem of evil, and we talked about the sovereignty of God. Tonight we're going to talk about the hope of redemption. But Habakkuk lived in a day when he saw great wickedness in Israel. He saw how terrible it was, and he just couldn't understand why God could allow such darkness, such evil, such wickedness in his nation. He couldn't understand why God would allow such bad things to happen in his nation. And I think a lot of Christians, a lot of people in America today look around and we go, how is it that God could allow this to go on? Another riot, another shooting in a school, another 1,000 people dead from overdoses. Just seems like every day there's just more and more and more of this. And we might say, God, how can you let this happen? How can you let wickedness happen? And Habakkuk asked that question of God, and God said, I'm not going to allow it to go unchecked. I'm going to send judgment. And then he didn't understand the way God was going to judge. He said, well, don't worry, I'm going to set that right too. And so we need to understand that everything that happens in this world is temporal, but we need to focus on the eternal. And so there was a hope of redemption that God gave. Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray together. Lord, I just pray that for a little bit of time as we're in your word tonight, that you would help us to gain understanding, that you would give us wisdom. And Father, that you would help us in our hearts to just be able to deal with the things that we have to day in and day out. The trouble in our own hearts and minds, the trials and tribulations that are around us, the difficulties in our families and among our friends and in our church, the struggles of our community and of our nation, Lord. We see all of the difficulties in this life, and I pray, dear God, that you would help us to look to you, help us to look to the future, and help us to live with the hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. Please bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The hope of redemption is what allowed Habakkuk to have courage to keep going, to trust God, no matter what was going on around him. Now, he didn't start out in that place, but he ended up in that place because of his time spent with God. We're all going to go through times of difficulty, but as Christians, we're never going to experience difficulty. We don't have to experience difficulty without hope. Hope is ours if we'll claim it. Our great hope is in, first of all, comes from our redemption from sin. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We talk about tragedies that happen in the world today. We talk about, tragic events and things that happen. The greatest tragedy that ever occurred in the history of the world is the death of Christ at Calvary. But the greatest triumph of all happened when he rose from the grave. Those 3 days in his death and his resurrection, we see the worst of the worst as far as we can imagine, God himself dying. But then we see the greatest of great things that could happen as he conquered death and hell in the grave. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so Jesus gives us forgiveness of sin. Jesus gives us redemption. And there is a promise of a better future for those who believe. Habakkuk 2:14 again, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And if you go down to verse 17, it says, "For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city and of all that dwell therein." So what you understand is that God sees the trouble. He sees the injustice that happens in the world. He sees the evil that's present here. And he says, "I'm going to make it better. I'm going to make all things new someday." Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. There are actually people in our country today and around the world today who suppress the knowledge of God to the point they say, "I don't believe in God." And then you might say to them, "Well, how can you account for the reality of good and evil in the world? If there's no God, if there's no morality, then how can you say there's good and evil?" And there are some of them who would deny the existence of evil in the world today. Now, I mentioned it before, but you'd have to be crazy to look at the world around you and say, "I don't believe in evil." Because we know that there are evil things that happen in the world every day. And so the reality is, there is a God in heaven who created all things. Morality does exist. There is good and evil. And God will ultimately judge all evil. But he will ultimately bring good about as well. In Revelation 21, verse 1, John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." If you jump down to verse 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to remove the curse of sin fully and finally. In the beginning, God created everything and it was very good. And in the end, he's going to redeem all things to himself through Christ. And he's going to make all things as they were in the beginning. They're going to be without sin. There's going to be with no sorrow, no pain, no crying. All those former things are going to be done. And he's going to make all things new. Amen. Habakkuk started out asking God, "How long shall I cry?" But at the end of the book, he says, "I will rejoice." Look at Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." What Habakkuk's describing, a terrible condition around him. He's saying there's no harvest. He's saying the labor that we put out is not working. The fields aren't yielding any meat. The flocks and the folds are cut off. Everything is going bad physically. All the material things aren't there like we hope for them to be. He's describing a place, a time of great calamity. But he says in verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." And so he says, listen, he started out, "How long shall I cry?" And he goes back and forth with God in this prayer and God answering. And by the end of it, he says, "No matter what happens around me, no matter how bad things get, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to serve him." And so he got his eyes off of his surroundings and he put his eyes on his Savior. And if you and I could learn to do that. Every day in the news, I keep getting updates about how some new expert's saying there's going to be a financial crash in the U.S. The stock market's about to crash, and inflation's going through the roof, and your money's not going to be worth anything, and it'll take a wheelbarrow full of money to go buy a loaf of bread. And every day I see those things, and I just want to tell you tonight, by the grace of God, it may take some time. God may have to remove some things from your heart. He may have to do a great work in you. You may have to go through a hard process like Habakkuk did. But by the grace of God, may all of us come to the place that even if that happens, even if the financial institutions around us crash, even if everything around us is really, really bad, we'll rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen. That our joy isn't tied to our pocketbook. that our focus is in the God of our salvation, and that He is our strength, that He helps us to run and to walk and to live the life that He's called us to live. So what changed in Habakkuk? Were the conditions around Habakkuk any different in chapter 1, verse 1 than they were in chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19? Like, did everything change around him? Did his surroundings change? Did the condition of Israel change in the process of this book? The answer is no. In the beginning, when he said, "How long shall I cry?" the conditions were the same. At the end, when he says, "I'm going to rejoice in my Savior." So what changed? Habakkuk changed. That's what changed. And by the grace of God, may He help us to change. I'm going to take just a couple more minutes. Let me give you a few things for those who write notes. Number one, we need to live by faith. Live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Number two, pray for revival. Habakkuk 3:2, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." We need to live by faith. We need to pray for revival. Number three, rejoice in your salvation. Joy in the God of your salvation. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." You say, "Brother Isaac, you don't understand what's going on in my life." I may not, but I know what God has in store for you if you're born again. I know where you're going to end up. I know how things are going to end at the end. So you can trust in Him. You can rejoice in Him. Number four, rely on God's strength. You say, "Preacher, I can't do it on my own. It's too hard. It's too overwhelming." God never expected you to do it on your own. The Lord God is my strength. That's where Habakkuk came to, that God was his strength. And number five, continue with confidence. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon the high places. God's my strength, so I can move forward with confidence, in faith, because I know God's in control. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to shrink back. I don't have to hide. I can move forward in faith doing what God's called me to do as a follower of Jesus, because He's making my feet walk where they need to walk. He's guiding my steps, and I'm following Him. Let's stand together. Because of the Word of God, because of Scripture, we can live in confidence, knowing our Savior has already given us the final victory. When we don't see the full picture, when we don't understand what's going on, we don't understand why God's allowing suffering in our life, we can still trust in Him, because He, God Himself, is the answer for the evil in this world and the difficulties in our own lives. Let's pray together, and we'll be dismissed to our small groups. Father in heaven,